The title in your bulletin is "He Knows Us," and I want to just start by saying that back early in March, when Emma was home for spring break, we all decided as a family that we would visit my sister and brother out in Pennsylvania. And as most of you know, my sister Phyllis moved from Long Island to Pennsylvania back in 2012. So she's been out there over a year, year and a half now. And at this time, we thought it would be good. We go out and visit every couple of months. But we thought this time it would be good if we got more of the extended family together. So that Saturday, when Emma was home, I went to Queens to pick up my Aunt Marie, my Aunt Jeannie, and my Uncle Raymond, who are all in their 80s. They thought they were going to the other side of the world. All they know before, you know, besides Queens, all they know is the Jersey Turnpike and Atlantic City. So going further, any further west, this was an adventure. This was like going up to the Adirondacks. I got them all in the car. They had not seen any of us in over a year since Phyllis moved to Pennsylvania. And as normally as what we do when we get together with my father's family, we talk about what it was like to grow up in New York during the 20s and the 30s, comparing the technology of today with what they have growing up. And my aunt told the story of her Uncle Louie's candy store at the end of their street in South Ozone Park, Queens, and how he had the only phone in the entire neighborhood. What he would do when someone called the store, how he would send a runner, or he would go and run himself and find the person in the neighborhood. She told of how he would run down the street looking for my grandmother. It was a big deal when someone received a phone call in those days. Now, I turned to Eric several times during this conversation to say, "You see, there was one phone in the neighborhood. It's not like today, right?" And he says, "Yes, Dad, I get it," you know, and he's sitting there, "Yes, Dad, I get it," you know, hashtag boring, hashtag spending time with old people, you know. Needless to say, you know, we all had a good time getting together and seeing my aunts and reminiscing about the past and Uncle Louie. I'm glad in a way because I also want to give my children a sense of their past, a sense of their family lines. Yeah, I know you can go on to ancestry.com and you can probably get, you know, maybe a good read on your family line because everything is true that you see on the internet, at least that's what I'm told. But it's always better to hear it from people who have actually lived it. So the next week, next week at work, we're in the process of, as you know, my company's been sold. And we're in the process of transition. And one of the things we have to do is we have to pack up 12 years worth of financial records because we're all going to be leaving. And the new company, has acquired us, wants all of the financial records. So we're packing it up on all these bankers' boxes, and they're going to put it in a storage facility. And it's 12 years worth of financial records that are going to be going into archives. And as we map out how to do this, I was thinking about all the times I've done this before. When I worked for NatWest Bank, and the bank was bought by Fleet Bank, we packed about 200 boxes worth of stuff. When Leapstone was bought out by Motorola, I had 150 boxes worth of stuff over 7 years that I had to pack up and archive. And I began to think about all these boxes and all of the work and how it all goes into storage with a 99.9% chance of never being opened again, only to be sent to the shredder after 5 or 7 years, after the statute of limitations is complete. So on the way home, I started to think about all of these boxes going into storage, never to be seen again. And I thought about it as it relates to people, Now, I try not to think and drive too much, but it just seemed kind of striking as I was driving that, you can relate this to people. And I started to think about the visit with my aunts the Saturday before, and the story of Uncle Louie and his candy store, and he's the only one with the telephone. What my aunts remember about him, because they were children at the time. And I started to think, who around the table there that Saturday really knew who Uncle Louie was, had actually met him, remembers who he is, what he looks like, what his personality was like? Well, my aunts obviously did. They grew up with him in the neighborhood. Maybe my sister did. I don't know. I'd have to ask her. I'm assuming Uncle Louie was married and had kids. I don't know if they're still alive. I've never met them. What about his grandkids? I don't know. I don't know much about him. I don't know when he died. There's a lot I just don't know about my great Uncle Louie. But that's my point. As time goes on, there is less and less that people know or actually speak about Uncle Louie. My aunts will one day die. We who were sitting around the table and have only heard of him will one day die. His own children, his grandchildren, they'll eventually die. He will eventually be forgotten. Maybe someone will have a picture of him somewhere, but my guess is that someone who will say, who is that standing next to that person, Uncle so-and-so? I don't know. And it could be Aunt Uncle Louie. When Emma and I went to Sicily back in 2011, we took a ride with Giovanni Marino, who is one of the deacons there in the church in Caltanissetta, to my great-grandparents' hometown of Partana. Now, Giovanni said he didn't know exactly if this was the Partana that was there in the late 1800s, early 1900s, because there was an earthquake and they rebuilt the town, but they don't know whether they rebuilt the town the same exact spot. So, other than the few pictures that I have of my great-grandparents, I don't know them. I certainly don't know who their parents were or who their grandparents were. It's like those boxes going into storage. A couple of folks know about them, but they're eventually slated for shredding. They're not needed anymore. Statute of limitations has expired. They're totally forgotten. The scriptures give us a stark view of mortal man and his time here on earth. Psalm 103 says, "For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more." Psalm 146. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal men, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish." So Scripture gives us a very realistic view of men in this age. Now, at this point, some are saying to yourselves, that's Sibylla, bringing the whole place down. This is a time of testimony this evening of what the Lord is doing in the lives of his people so we can rejoice, and here he is bringing us down. "I'm a blade of grass burned in the noonday sun. I die. My thoughts perish. Poor Uncle Louie." But as the Lord's people, we do know one thing here this evening. Yeah, one day we will die. Or if the Lord was to return before that time, but one day the Lord knows our days. One day those that know us will die. It will get to a point where no one on this earth will remember who we were. But as the people of God, we are known by the one who has created us, who loves us in Christ with an eternal love. And you know what? He has always known us. There goes the watch. And how long has he known us, who are his people, his children? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. He has known us. He has known his people from the foundation of the world. When we die, we who are followers of Christ, we who have come to faith and repentance in Christ, when we die, we will be with him for all eternity. He will know us for all eternity. Just think about that. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He knew us. He knew us in eternity past. He knows us presently. And if we were to die even today and forgotten 100 years from now, we are with him. He still knows us. He still loves us. And he will always love us. For we have been given to Christ through our Heavenly Father. John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understand that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. But of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. We are the Lord's. We are the Lord's people. When we die, we will be with the Lord forever. We've been known by the Lord. We are currently known by the Lord, and we will forever be known by the Lord. For we will be in his presence forever, and we will be loved by him with that same love that he has had for us since the foundations of the world. Just think about that. Just rest upon that for a minute. So when we read Psalm 103 again, and we come around to the fact that as for a man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. Verse 17, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, on those who reverence him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. God's loving kindness is upon us now, in eternity past. It is upon us now. It is upon us forever who are in Christ. We may be forgotten by this world one day, and we probably will be. But remember, this world is passing away. We will be with God who knows us now and forevermore, who loves us in Christ Jesus. I want us to take that into this week. We are known and loved by the eternal God eternally. So when we think of our walk, when we think our walk with Christ is weak, when we know we have failed miserably because of our remaining sin and corruption, know this, that we are known and loved by the eternal God eternally. And that has been through ages past, present, and future. No one can snatch us out of his hands. We are loved by him. And this is, I'm pointing my finger at myself because as I go into this week, I know I've got a million things to do and I'm fretful about a lot of things, but he loves me. Does that mean I sit down and do nothing? No. I get out and I put my faith and my trust in him that he will accomplish his good purposes on my behalf. And that he loves me eternally. And that no one, nothing in this created realm will be able to separate me from the love of God that is within Christ Jesus. Take that into this week. Amen.